We're going to read verses 21 through 24 together. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Let's read these verses together, all together. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful example of this Old Testament believer. I pray, dear God, we would put some of the things that he is noted for into practice in our own lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when you read of the man Enoch, you see that he appears in Scripture three times, and in just 9 verses. In Genesis chapter 5, we're told of his birth. We're told of his children, his walk with God, and his rapture to heaven. In Hebrews 11, we are told that he pleased God and was translated that he should not see death. Then in the book of Jude, we learn that he preached to the ungodly of his day, warning them of God's judgment to come. Enoch lived prior to the flood. When he was born, Adam was 622 years old. And so he lived alongside Adam for 308 years. Adam lived long enough to witness what his sin had done to the human race as a rising tide of wickedness was rapidly ripening the pre-flood world for judgment. In Enoch's day, much like our own, people did their own thing. Everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. There were no restraints on crime, and lawlessness was rampant. The Bible says the thoughts of men's hearts were evil continually. Spiritually speaking, Cain corrupted the faith with a work salvation. And while there were believers who believed salvation came through the shed blood of the Lamb, they made little effect on the society in which they lived, or they were simply ignored altogether. Society was not interested in the things of God. They were preoccupied with the good things of this life, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And it did not occur to them that God was displeased with them and preparing judgment for them. Enoch lived in a world where men were waxing worse and worse, where sin was exceedingly sinful, where false religion blinded the minds of men, and the truth of God was ignored. Yet we read in verse 22 and 24 of our text, and Enoch walked with God. Now, to my knowledge, there are only 2 men mentioned in the entire Bible where we are specifically told that they walked with God. And both of them lived before the flood came down. They both lived in very difficult times to do so. Those 2 men were Enoch and Noah. While Enoch did not have to pass through the door of death to get to the Father's house, and Noah went through a flood and survived with his family, both men were truly blessed because they had a walk with God. Now we live on this side of the rapture. And yes, there will be a generation of believers who will not go through the door of death to be with the Lord forevermore. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 55 says this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And we can say, oh, death, where is thy sting, if that happens to be in our lifetime? In the meantime, we live in perilous times. We live in the midst of a perverse, evil generation. And this world, well, it's waxing worse and worse. I've heard some believers say, you know, it's hard to live for Christ nowadays. And so many of them have gone the way of the world, just like Demas did. They are indifferent to the things of God. They are unfaithful. They are unholy. And unlike what God would have them to be. They are spotted all over by the world like a Dalmatian dog. They are like salt that has lost its savor, or light put under a bushel. They take God for a walk, but they do not walk with God. Now, I'm sure they could all offer up their excuses for not having a walk with God like they should. They can give various reasons why they don't do so, and they can justify themselves for the distance they put between themselves and the Lord. Yet all of us believers can and should have a walk with God. Noah and Enoch did so before the flood, when wickedness of man was great. And let me tell you, if they did so with very little of the Word of God, with no church to attend, and no indwelling of the Holy Ghost, I believe we can today. Today we have a complete copy of the Holy Scripture. And that this Bible here tells us what's right, what is wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right. It tells us to walk in the steps of faith. Walk in newness of life. Walk not after the flesh. Walk worthy of God. Walk in the light. Walk after His commandments and walk in truth. We also have a church where the Word of God is preached and taught, where we are told to separate ourselves from the world and draw nigh to God as born again ones. The Spirit of God lives within us, and He ought to lead us, and He ought to guide us, and He will never lead us or guide us in any way that's contrary to this book. So if two could walk with God before the flood, how many more should be walking with God today before the rapture? Well, it's rather difficult to admit there are some who start off walking with God, and they have a desire to do so, but they fail to do so long term. Folks, walking with God is a lifestyle, and it must become our manner of living. It cannot be hit or miss. And in the case of Enoch, he persistently and consistently walked with God for 300 years. In verse 21 of our text, we read, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. His wife gave birth to a son. And his son named means man of the dart, or it shall be sent." Now this happened to be a turning point in Enoch's life, because that was when he started walking with the Lord. Did responsibility of raising a son in a godless world so challenged Enoch that he knew he needed the Lord's help? Did the birth of his boy so pierce his soul like a dart that it moved him to get a hold of God in a more personal way? Or was Enoch given an insight into the future and knew the flood would be sent? These things we do not know. But what we do know, the arrival of that baby named Methuselah changed Enoch's life. The same thing happens to believers today. Once they are given additional responsibilities, such as a spouse, perhaps being a parent, serving the Lord in some capacity in the church, they all of a sudden become aware of a need to walk with God in a whole lot more closer way. Because we're not walkers with God by nature, God often uses people or happenings to provoke us to walk with Him. I wonder what will it take for God to get our attention so that we would live and walk with Him as He desires. As a young believer, I would hear preachers speak on the need to walk with God. And you know what? I thought, man, yeah, that's great. But you know what? They never explained it to me. I didn't know what it meant. And I left with the thought that, yes, that's important. That's something I want to do. But I had no idea how to obtain it. Ignorance in this matter was not bliss. And it bothered me, for I wanted to have a lifelong walk with the Lord like Enoch did. To answer this question, let me describe a person who is walking with God. A person who walks with God is in agreement with God, and they are walking in fellowship with Him. Now, does not Amos the prophet ask the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, when the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, it means he and God were in agreement about everything. So they agreed on how he spent his time, the way he spent his money, the way he ran his home, the way he treated others, the way he prayed, how he heard and obeyed the word. They agreed on his use of his tongue, how he would treat others, how he reared his children, how he dressed, where he went, his attendance and support of the place of worship, the faith he practiced, his separation from sin, his morality, his priorities, his ethics, and his character. They were in agreement with those things. Now, do you think God came to Enoch's side and agreed with him? Or do you think Enoch agreed with God? Since God does not change, that means Enoch had to change his mind about a whole lot of things so he could be in agreement with God. You see, so many of us want God to walk with him and be in agreement with him. When one walks with God, they enjoy fellowship with God. What a real union of hearts there was between Enoch and God. What sweet hours of holy and happy communion were between the two of them. There was never anything that Enoch would allow in his life that would put distance between him and the Lord. Nothing was worth breaking fellowship with whom Enoch loved and the one who loved Enoch as he did. The author of the hymn, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee," is unknown. But Enoch would agree with it. And no doubt today he's probably thinking, man, I wish I had wrote it. Now the second stanza goes as follows. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden share? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee, granted Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When I'm fellowshipping with God, I'm walking with God. And when I'm walking with God, I'm communing with Him as friend with friend. If I'm to walk with God, then I must spend time with Him. And that means if I spend time with Him, I will get to know Him a whole lot better. So other than God, who knows all about me, including the number of hairs on my head, which are getting fewer by the day, what person here do you think knows more about me than anyone else? Connie. You know, I spend a lot of time with her. We commune one with another. You know, she knows what I like, and she knows what I dislike. And woe be unto her if she brings a dislike to me. Over the years, we become ever closer. This didn't happen because we ignored one another. We didn't talk to one another, or didn't love each other as we do. We enjoy each other's company, and because we do, We have gotten to know each other better, and we don't enjoy being apart. Every now and then, someone will say to me, well, I know what you were thinking. Or I know what you would do, and so I did it. Now, sometimes they're right. Sometimes they are wrong. For they don't know me as well as they think they do. But we get to know God better by spending more time with Him. We will then know what the Lord loves and what the Lord hates. And we will be in agreement with Him on everything. We will change into His likeness, and we'll have our minds renewed as His thoughts then become our thoughts. And our behavior will be more acceptable to Him, for He will walk with us in paths of righteousness. So if we are walking with Him, will we even give a second thought to evolution? Will we believe that there are more than two genders? Will we believe in climate change other than summer, fall, winter, and spring? Will we believe that being a sodomite is normal? Same-sex marriage legitimate? Will we believe that abortion is a woman's right to choose? That drinking alcohol is okay? That smoking tobacco isn't sinful? That inking up God's temple is all right with Him? That getting pierced all over, looking like we jumped head first into a tackle box, is acceptable? That wearing less than what it takes to cover the legs of a hummingbird is all right? That telling lies isn't that big of a deal? That going to church isn't all that important? That there are many ways to go to heaven? That there's more than one Bible that God wrote? That capital punishment isn't right? Or that sex outside of being married is now acceptable? This list could go on. But if we walk with God and we spend time to get to know Him better, we will agree with Him and become more pleasing to Him, which leads to having His blessings upon our lives. Walking with God means communicating with Him, and He with us. Now, I can't ignore my talking to Him in prayer or my Bible when He talks to me and have a close walk with Him. Just can't happen. I know some don't pray unless it's an emergency. And others begin their day in prayer and then hang up the communication line between them and heaven, and they don't pick it up again until the next morning. But we are to pray without ceasing. We are to be in constant fellowship and communion with our Lord. Prayer should be a two-way conversation. I have often prayed about a matter, and God spoke to my heart about what to do. I remember one time taking my dog Odo for a walk. Now, if there was ever a dog in heaven, Odo would be there. But you know, years ago, I'm walking with my dog. And you know what? When I walked with my dog, I would talk to the Lord. And you know what? I was talking to the Lord about an unruly church member. One that just got under my skin, chafed my hide. One that I was contending with on a constant basis. And you know, I remember talking to the Lord about it. And I said, Lord, you got to do something to that person. They got to make some changes in their life. I said, they're doing wrong. And they're bothering me. And this is what He said. Now, it wasn't audible, but I knew He told me. He says, I brought that person in your life to change you. I said, I'm not the one in the wrong here. But you know what? I learned a little bit of long-suffering and patience that day. And you know what? That person and I get along today. Wasn't always the case. Now, most often the Lord will speak to us through His Word. And I don't know how many times my mind has been changed by what I've read in the written voice of God, or my course of action was corrected because of what thus saith the Lord. You know, I'm not one to tell the Lord what I think, because I know what I think doesn't matter. What He thinks is what matters, and what He says is what I need to obey. I'm not one to sit there and say, Lord, I don't believe that. I don't care what You wrote. I'm not that proud. I know that I'm stupid. And I know that I'm supposed to submit my little finite mind to His infinite word. I don't tell Him what's going to happen. He tells me. Now, the communication that exists between myself and God as we fellowship together has drawn me closer to Him. And I'll be honest with you, I don't enjoy the times when I do something that brings separation between the two of us. Those who walk with God like Enoch find God to be a pleasure, for they are pleasing to God. They, like the hymn writer, can say, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Naught of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasures. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from Him ever sever. He is my all. There's nothing between. You know, I've met some believers who are so caught up in a hobby, they don't have time for the Lord. They can't make it to church. And yet they want to tell me how good and godly they are. They don't walk with Him like they should. Nothing between? How about pride? Nothing between? How about self? Nothing between? How about friends that we shouldn't have? Though it may cost me much tribulation, we ought to be resolved that there's nothing between us and the Lord. Walking with God means we are in His presence. And we should, as believers, long to be where He is and being in His presence. Well, that would mean that we are where we're supposed to be. And that would mean that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. It's like this. The Bible says we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Is that true? Now, so if I skip church because family comes over, am I where I should be? Am I dwelling in His presence? Let's say I'm in church and I am where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not participating in the singing, in the giving, nor am I paying attention to the preaching, because you know what? The preacher said something I don't like and I just tuned him out. I have no intention of obeying what He's preaching on. Are we really walking with God when our heart isn't what is taking place when we are where we are supposed to be? Obviously not. Now, if we're going to walk with God, it'll cause us to be separated from the world. Enoch, the seventh man from Adam, did not walk in the way of the sinners of the corrupt age in which he lived. His character and his conduct was a rebuke to the godless. Enoch's walk with God resulted in him having a testimony that he pleased God. He fulfilled what he was created for. Because Revelation 4, worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So are we created to please ourselves? Or are we created to please God? And if we're going to please God, that means we need to live within the parameters of what He said. You ever notice how some Christians are miserable? You know what they're doing? They're telling on themselves. They're not living to please Him. They're living to please themselves. They are outside the will of God and do not have a walk with God that they should have. Enoch's walk with God spoke volumes that he pleased the Lord. In the New Testament, there was another one who had the same testimony. His name happened to be Jesus. And as the Father watched his Son tread the earth in time, he opened up heaven and he declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Enoch did not talk, walk, look like the world. He separated himself from it and consecrated himself to God. I believe his walk with God so changed Enoch, so pleased God, that the Lord said, "You know what, Enoch, after 300 years, you're more fit for heaven than you are for this sinful world, so why don't you just come and spend some time in my place? Because you feel more at home in heaven than you do down here on earth." Don't be fooled. One cannot walk with God and have a walk with the world. Just can't happen. And although we are in the world, the Bible says we are not to be what? Of the world. Enoch's walk with God over those many years was also one of progress. You know, he didn't start, then stop, and then start again. Each day he went from faith to faith. He would grow spiritually as he communed with God as friend with friend. In unbroken fellowship, he kept his eyes on his heavenly companion and went from glory to glory. Agreement, fellowship, communication, a godly testimony, and making spiritual progress are all part of a walk with God. Enoch's life and witness remind us that it is possible, even in the generation we live in, to be faithful to God, have a close walk with Him. My hope and prayer is that we see this great need in our life to have a closer, faithful walk with God. Listen, if Enoch and Noah could do it before the flood, can't we before He comes again for us in the rapture? All of us need to have this testimony, the one that Enoch had, that he pleased God. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.